Welcome to the October installation of Industrial Heating's Vacuum Heat Treat Minute podcast, underwritten by Solar Manufacturing, leaders in the design and manufacture of leading technology vacuum furnaces for a wide variety of thermal processes. Solar Manufacturing, on the web at www.solarmfg.com. This month's podcast is the first of two on temperature uniformity surveys for vacuum furnaces. Jim Nagy, president of Solar Manufacturing, discusses a variety of different topics dealing with temperature uniformity surveys with Solar Manufacturing founder and CEO and ASM fellow, Bill Jones. Stay tuned at the end of this 12-minute podcast for information about two helpful resources you can get to help you with uniformity surveys. Here's Jim Nagy to get us started.
Bill, congratulations on your recent honor. I understand you were awarded the Metal Treating Institute's Heritage Award.
Yes, that is correct, Jim. I was very pleased to receive that award. It was down in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I did make the trip down to receive it. The MTI, Metal Treating Institute, gives this award once every few years. It is the highest award for accomplishments and service and dedication and so forth in the industry as recognized by the board of the MTI. So yes, it was certainly great an honor and a privilege to receive that and to be there among my peers.
Great. It was good to be there myself, and it was enjoyable to see you receive that award after many, many years in the industry. Bill, our topic today is an important matter for all heat treaters because it is one of those necessary, unavoidable tasks that everyone has to address on a regular basis who's in the business. It's necessary and important, but it also can be inconvenient and sometimes a bother. So let's get started with today's topic, temperature uniformity surveys. Bill, why is performing a TUS so important, and who says we have to do them?
Well, the temperature uniformity survey of the furnace, of course, outlines the actual operating temperature uniformity for the furnace hot zone, and it applies to all furnaces, not just our vacuum furnaces, but to air furnaces and atmosphere furnaces. It's a very broad requirement that is put upon the industry. The major standard that we go by is the AMS 2750E, which is the Aerospace Materials Specifications, and this is an ASME standard. And it spells out many of the conditions. It's quite a document, and it has been revised a number of times over the years. So, what is the importance? The importance is it really tells us how the furnace is performing from a thermal viewpoint.
And how are thermocouples fixtured in a furnace for an accurate TUS?
This depends on the size of the furnace. With a very small furnace, the size of a shoebox, for instance, you may only use three temperature survey thermocouples. On a very large furnace, like our car bottom furnace that we have that's 36 foot deep and 6 foot square, that furnace requires 30 thermocouples spread out around the hot zone. So one of the major decisions is the size of the furnace. And of course, the other part of it is what is the furnace processing? That has a lot to do with the survey.
Bill, what kinds of fixturing can be used when you're performing a temperature uniformity survey?
Very interesting question. Temperature uniformity surveys are conducted at the extremes of the furnace hot zone, which you define. And the thermocouples can be attached actually to baskets, which is a way that I prefer. They can be mounted on special stands or what have you that set the extremes of the hot zone. Or there's other possible techniques. In the early days, we literally hung the thermocouples and supported them from the grid of the furnace. These procedures are generally not done that way anymore, and they are generally much more defined, and it has a lot to do with exactly what you are processing in the furnace.
Bill, who typically performs the TUS procedure?
The surveys are generally conducted by technicians. They can be in-house technicians that have been trained for this procedure, or it can be an outside company that specializes in performing these surveys. Now, I'm not intending to degrade outside services. However, you have to know who this outside service is and that their personnel are going to be consistent and that they're not going to actually introduce problems.
And what preparations are necessary to get the furnace ready?
The furnace should have gone through what we call the PID, temperature control, which is a subject all in itself. But these are the tuning constants that are in the temperature controllers. That's necessary so that we know that at every temperature level that these PID settings are correct. Also, before you're going to perform a survey, you want to know that all the conditions within the furnace are proper, that there are no heating elements that are dislodged, all the insulation is properly in place, that the furnace is in good condition to do this. Because if it is not, the survey, of course, will not turn out right. The other thing are the thermocouples themselves. The thermocouples have to have been pre-calibrated with traceability. Generally, we use new thermocouples. We don't start with used thermocouples. And all the thermocouples have to have been properly assembled with proper plugs, jacks, and polarities correct. And there's any number of things relative to the thermocouples that you want to make sure are in proper order.
Well, we've established that the TUS is important. Now let's ask, who determines how often a TUS is performed?
The temperature uniformity survey is always performed when a new furnace is installed. Usually the original temperature uniformity survey is performed by the furnace manufacturer in his plant prior to shipment. Once the furnace is shipped and installed in the operating plant, then the temperature uniformity survey must be performed again before the furnace can be put into production. Then what determines the frequency? The frequency can be determined by the company itself, or if they are members of NADCAP, that's the National Aerospace and Defense Program, they set the time limits. And this all depends on where you stand with their accreditation. You may have to do a survey quarterly, that's quite often, or it might be semi-annually. There's a lot of determinations as to who sets the standards as to when you're going to do a temperature uniformity survey. A furnace that has undergone any changes within the hot zone, for instance, if you replace heating elements, if you change insulation, if there are other changes in the furnace, you must do a temperature uniformity survey before the furnace is put back into production. So there's any number of standards that can be applied. And NADCAP is not the only accrediting body. Also, your customers, or it might be within your own plant. For instance, one of the engine manufacturers like Pratt & Whitney or General Electric or Rolls-Royce, they have certain standards that you must adhere to as well as NADCAP. There's a lot of criteria as to who, when, and why on this temperature uniformity survey.
Bill, many heat treaters have various sizes of furnaces and different kinds of furnaces that they use in their business. This idea of class, what is class and how is furnace class determined?
There are five classes, and these are all temperature limits, if you wish. The most stringent being class 1, which is plus or minus 5 degrees Fahrenheit, all the way up to class 5, which is plus or minus 25 degrees. Now, the classification is determined by the performance of the furnace and the temperature uniformity survey and at what temperature the furnace is going to operate. For example, at class 2, which is a very common class for plus or minus 10 degrees Fahrenheit, which is often required for tempering or for aging temperatures, say down in the range of 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, as the temperature rises, the temperature window is allowed to increase. For instance, if you're up at 2250 Fahrenheit, the class could very well be plus or minus 25 degrees Fahrenheit. Here again, it all depends on the application and what is required for the particular process.
We are glad you could join us today for this edition of the Vacuum Heat Treat Minute with Bill Jones. Please watch for our next podcast in this series coming soon.
Thanks for listening, and plan on listening to December's installment for the conclusion of this two-part series on vacuum furnace temperature uniformity surveys. Sola Manufacturing is the company bringing you this helpful information, and they'd like to have the opportunity to work with you on your current or future vacuum furnace needs. That can include new furnace design, construction, and installation, rebuilding hot zones, or rebuilding entire furnace systems. Trust Sola Manufacturing on the web at www.solarmfg.com. And now, as promised at the beginning of this podcast, here are two helpful resources for performing temperature uniformity surveys. Link to www.solarmfg.com/TUS, the number one, and www.solarmfg.com/TUS, the number two, and download both technical resources. Both of these resources help vacuum furnace operators understand how to properly perform temperature uniformity surveys. Or you can send an email to Doug@solarmfg.com and request TUS1 and TUS2. That's Doug@solarmfg.com. Thanks for listening.